Morning from the Word of God is how to have a real relationship with God. And the first thing I must say is, if you've never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you never realized that you're a sinner, and you came and said, Lord, please forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake, you don't have a relationship to begin with. So the message this morning is directed to people who have come to that place in their life where they have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and within their hearts and their lives. And we're going to be looking at scriptures throughout the message today. And so keep that in mind. So the answer here is that we're going to look at, and we'll see the answer a little bit later, how to have a real, and if you would circle that in your mind, a real relationship with God. Because if you're born again and you've trusted in Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you already have a relationship with Him. But we want to see what we're lacking in our lives so we can have that real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are many Christians who read their Bibles daily, but do not have a real, intimate, a personal, passionate relationship with God. They go through and they read the Word of God, and that's good. And I'm going to speak about things which are good, but it's not what God truly wants. He wants more than that within our hearts and our lives. But people come to that point. You know, the Bible is full of information, but it's not just an information book. That's not what it's about. It is a book of transformation. I can read my Bible through every year. Not bad. I've done it, and it's a good thing. But I can read my Bible through every year, and I can go through that process in my heart, my life. But if I'm not reading for transformation in my life, I'm missing the whole boat of what God wants for me. He wants my life to be transformed at a point in time like that. Paul writes in Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." A transformation has to take place. Information is good, but transformation is so much more important to us. So there's that word, transformation. God wants my life to be transformed. He wants it to be changed and to develop into a real relationship with Him, a real relationship. I'm going to ask you some questions today, and I want you to be honest with questions. You know, when nobody's asks you a question and they don't want a verbal answer, sometimes we can cheat, you know what I mean? Well, let me think through this. Well, maybe and maybe not. But I want you to ask you an important question this morning in your minds and just keep there and think about it. How many times have you read a chapter in your Bible and then got down to the end of that chapter and forgot what you read? Don't even know what I read. How many people come to the point in time and say, well, I read four chapters of the Word of God every day. Praise God, the Word of God is effective. But if I'm only reading for information purpose and not for transformation in my heart, my life, I'm not getting anywhere within my heart, my life, if that's the whole purpose. Sometimes you and I sit in church and half paying attention, and we get some information about God, but there's no transformation. Dear friends, we should be coming here today to this service this morning and to every service time we come to church, morning and evening and Wednesday. We should be coming to say, Lord, how can you transform my life? How will you transform my life to make it a real, passionate relationship that I can have with you? It can be in an intimate relationship. It can be very personal that I have at that point in time. You know, many people of God's people are giving their children a considerable amount of information about God. But it's information. I heard someone say just recently, with all of my children, I told them all the stories of the Bible. You think that's bad? No, that's wonderful. But if only for information purposes, there's no change that's going to be brought about at that point in time. There's no development of that relationship with God that we have to have. And I think it's a great tragedy in a Christian home where we fail to see that transformation process taking place in that. You realize before you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, before you were saved, that the devil, the adversary of your soul, sought to stop you from getting saved? I think back in that time when you were witness to, or maybe you heard a message and sometimes hung onto the pew right in front of you and just hung there when the invitation was given and never moved, and the devil didn't want you to move. And he was putting all that pressure upon you at a point in time like that. But can I tell you something? Once you did get saved, once you have accepted Christ as Savior, once you have a relationship with God in your heart, in your life, at that point in time, the devil doesn't give up. Now his purpose is, since you already have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and God is your heavenly Father, and you're trusting in him, now that you're at that point, he wants to derail that relationship and change that relationship so it can be just a common relationship. He does not want you, he does not want me, to have a real relationship with my God. 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to read several verses. You're welcome to turn there if you like to, because we'll read some in 2 Peter and some in 1 Peter. But 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says this, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You know what growing means? That means to change. Remember when you see somebody and you haven't seen them for a long time and you see their children, and what's the first thing? "Man, have you grown up? I don't even recognize you. Last time," and kids love this, don't you, kids? Yeah. "You were just a little tot." And it's about, I do the same thing, but, you know, kids don't get excited about that. But we say, "My, how you've grown. There's a change taking place." Wouldn't it be great if somebody could see the change in my life and in your life, in my relationship with Jesus Christ? "My, how your relationship with your Savior has grown and grown." See, that's talking about a change. And when he says, "grow in grace here in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." The word for knowledge, by the way, in this text does not mean to have knowledge about God. It means about having transforming knowledge. Knowledge that will change you. Knowledge that will change me in my heart, my life. You know, through the many years of my ministry, I've seen some sad things. I've seen this time again, not all the time, but I've seen it time again, and it's been so sad that many people graduate from Bible college, graduate from a Christian school, even graduate there and have lived in even in a homeschooling situation at a time like that, and they leave to live a wicked and vile life. It just breaks our heart and say, "What happened? What happened?" The answer to that is no transformation, just information. And they gathered all this information in, but it never changed. It never changed their life. It wasn't transforming. It was just informational stuff that they had at that point in time. You know, the devil wants to stop you from having a real relationship with God, and he's subtle, and does a marvelous job in derailing the lives of God's people. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Interestingly, Peter is writing to Christians at that time. He's saying, "Christian, the devil wants to devour your life. He wants to devour that relationship. He can't take you away from the Lord. You're born again. You've trusted in Christ. You're his for all eternity. But he can devour that relationship. He can keep you from transforming your life to make your life like unto the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. Who's he going to devour? I believe it's those who do not have an intimate, personal, passionate relationship with Christ. If that's not there, he set out and he's going to devour those people and everything he can do. It's important for us to see one thing this morning and to realize that man is a tripartite being. He has three parts, body, soul, and spirit that we would see. And just because I'm saved doesn't mean that the devil's no longer interested in me. He sure is. He's interested in you. If you have a relationship with Christ, he wants to derail that, and he's interested in it. So could I say, "I'm going to win. I'm going to have victory in the battle. I'm just going to read my Bible and pray." And we read our Bible, and we're not being transformed. We pray, and we're not seeing answers to prayer. What's the problem within our hearts and our lives? It has been informational, not transformational. I'll drive you crazy by the end of the message saying that, okay? Maybe those words will get through to you. But that's what it's going to be at a point in time like this. How am I going to do that? You see, the relationship I have is not a real relationship. It's a self-righteous, living the Christian life in my own power. That's the kind of a life. I can handle this. I can do it. I'm going to live in my own power. I'm going to do it my way instead of doing it God's way and being obedient unto the Lord. When you and I get saved and we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and Christ came to indwell your heart and your life, up till that time, your spirit, my spirit, was dead. But when I got saved, my spirit became alive at that point in time. Now the Holy Spirit, at this point in time, can speak to my spirit. And something to remember about this, that And God always deals with our spirit through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. So all these things are important to us. I go back to the book of Romans, if you will, with me, please. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And look at some verses there in relationship to this, what we're talking about. Romans 8, verse 9 through 11. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then back in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13, one other verse in this relationship. 1 John 4:13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. So the Spirit of God who indwells us now can effectively communicate with you, can effectively communicate with me in my heart, my life. The Spirit of God always works from the inside out. The devil works from the outside in. They're just opposite. The Spirit of God works, as we said here, from the inside out. In my Sunday school class, we were just finished Romans 6. We'll almost finish Romans 7 maybe today. But we just finished Romans 6. And one of the emphases of Romans 6 is this. Believing comes before behaving. Believing comes before behaving. You see, when I believe and I listen to the Spirit of God who indwells me, my behavior will change. I don't have to change the outside. It'll change automatically. When Christ dwells in you and you have this real relationship with God in the Spirit, there will be changes in your heart and your life that will be taking place. Peter talked about that. We mentioned that earlier. That will be taking place in your heart. But the devil works from the outside and to the inside. He knows he can attack you there and tempt you through these things. And he wants to control our soul. God always wants us, or works through his Spirit to our spirit. So if God controls my spirit as I give it unto him, he also controls my soul and my body. And Satan is not a happy camper. He wants the desire to put some outside pressure on there and keep you and I from serving the Lord as we should. And if, in essence, the whole thing here is if the devil controls our soul, which is the seat of my mind, my will, and my emotions at that point in time. He controls the body, and that means he controls everything I do if I give that over to him. He can't possess any. We said, well, he can't possess a Christian. No, he can't. But he can oppress the Christian, and we have to be aware of that. He can't possess me. I belong to Jesus Christ, but he can't oppress me within my heart, my life, with this outside pressure he can upon my heart. And when the devil seeks to pressure your life from the outside, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you'll cave into that temptation because the devil will continue to put pressure on it in different forms. If this form doesn't work, I'm going to try this over here. If that doesn't work, I'm going to try another form. He wants to control you, and he wants to have that control in your heart and your life. Turn back with me to 1 John again, if you would, please. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15, he does this in three ways, this pressuring from the outside. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, let me get this, turn the wrong page. The pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So here's the three ways. First of all is the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the flesh is an overwhelming desire to do something. He attacks us in the area where he says, you need to do this and keep us from serving God, but to do things that would please him. Then he says that if that doesn't work, it's going to be the lust of the eyes, which is an overwhelming desire to have something. And he has us looking constantly, never satisfied. And what happens when I'm not satisfied? I'm not satisfied with what God is doing in my life. I say, I want something else. This isn't enough. And he attacks us there. And then the pride of life, which is an overwhelming desire to be someone or to be something at that time. He preys on our emotions there, and particularly in this third one, in the pride of life, tries to get us in our emotions to get here and destroy us. But you know what? The devil did the same thing with Adam and Eve. There they are in the Garden of Eden. I've often thought I would love to see what the Garden of Eden was like. The description in the scripture is something, but I just think, what it must have been. Can you imagine every day going through having perfect fruit and everything there in the Garden of Eden? You don't have to pull weeds. You don't have to go out. You don't have to till the soil. You don't have to plant the seed. You don't have to water it every day. You just go out there, and there's the best fruit and vegetables that you've ever seen in your life. And when the scripture talks about Adam and Eve walking in the cool of the day, after the last 3 or 4 days we had, doesn't that sound good? Boy, being out there in the cool of the day. How wonderful must the Garden of Eden been? And how they had everything. They didn't have to work. They didn't have to labor. It was all there. God was so gracious and supplied everything for them at that time, until the devil, in the form of a serpent, comes along and says to Eve, you can have that tree out there. That one that God said you can't have it, he just doesn't want you to be like God. Can you imagine being in that atmosphere and caving in to the devil? What I'm trying to show you is, and of course she sinned and so did Adam sin because they caved in. They were in a perfect environment surrounding them, a place that they couldn't have anything else that they could ever want, and they caved at that time. Satan's powerful. He's not all powerful, and we know that, but he's powerful. And he wants us to come to the point and we get that pressure from the outside, and we can cave in. And men and women have been caving in the same way ever since. Just because I'm saved doesn't mean I will not cave into the things of the devil. You see, if I don't have a real relationship with God, I'll cave and the devil will control what he will do. I need that real relationship. Many times a Christian is seeking to live a life of self-righteousness, and we do. And eventually we tire of keeping up the grueling self-work of trying to keep ourselves righteous and keep ourselves clean and keep ourselves right before the Lord. So the devil says, well, I've already got an inroad there. I've already started something there. Go back to the book of Galatians with me, if you will, please. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Because it explains here in full detail about the spirit of the thing. Chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, notice the answer, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. One of those things that Satan is going to attack me on and try to get me to cave in, if I'm walking in the spirit, as God says I ought to walk in the spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so the answer simply is this, is the Holy Spirit who indwells me wants me to be spirit controlled, and my walk is my daily life. As I live, I'm spirit controlled. What? I've come to a real relationship with God, and that's what I want in my heart, my life. Promise is that if we walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the answer is to have a real relationship with God so that I can thus walk in the Spirit as he would have me walk. Look at verses 19 through 21 of this same chapter. Chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. And it says this, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which means unbridled lust, idolatry, witchcraft. This is the same word from which we get our word drugs, pharmakia is the word there. Hatred, variance. A variance is a person who quarrels with everyone and everything. Emulations, an attitude of deep rage, jealousy and envy. Wrath, strife, seditions. Seditions is division and dissension. Heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, which are orgies and carousing and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me ask you something. If a person can continually and habitually do these things and never convicted about them by the Holy Spirit, do they even have a relationship with God? I believe not. If they can do that habitually, continually within their hearts and our lives, and there's no relationship and there's no conviction, I don't know about you. Well, I know the Spirit convicts me. And when I do some things, the Spirit right to my heart says, oh, why did he do it? And I need to go back to him and get it right with him. I know I'm his because the Holy Spirit indwells me and brings conviction. However, can I say this? Unfortunately, there are people who are saved who do such things, and they're miserable, and they are convicted by the Holy Spirit, and they do nothing about it. What's the end result? That person is now deceived. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. So if I don't have a real relationship with God through the Spirit of God, I'm going to have a disaster in my life. Whether I go to church, whether I read my Bible, whether I pray, if I'm not in that real right relationship, the devil is just using these things to destroy my thinking, destroy my life at a period of time like that. God's speaking to our spirit. We have a real relationship at this time. Look at verse 25, Ephesians 5, as we're there. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Just a simple thing. If I have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, with the Spirit of God to control my walk, otherwise the devil is going to control my soul, and he's going to get at me. He's going to control my walk because he is going to try to make me cave and derail my walking with the Lord as it should be. God speaks to our spirit from the inside of us, and the devil tries to control us from the outside in. We have to be prepared for it. You know, a relationship with God is really a matter of worship. It's really a matter of worship. The Holy Spirit of God speaking to our spirit, that's a time of worship. And when you go to have your devotion time, your time set aside that you meet with the Lord, that is a time of devotion. That is a time of worship. And don't think of it as anything less than that. That's a time of worship before God. John 4:24, and the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says this, God is a spirit, and they which worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's worshiping God as we have the real relationship. Well, how can we have this real relationship? We finally get to that point. How can we have the real relationship with God? You know, when I met the woman who was later on was going to be my wife, I can still remember back, and I decided I wanted to have a relationship with her. And actually, when I first met her, saw her at an outing down at Bob Jones, and she was with another guy. I thought, how sad, you know. But I just looked and I said, well, this is taken care of. There's no sense in pursuing this matter any further. But I thought she was beautiful, and I thought, boy, I'd love to date her. And only to find out later, that was her first date, I found out later. But she got engaged to him. And the day a friend of mine came and says, you know what? Alice broke the engagement, and I lit up like a Christmas tree. You know, I said, okay, get to work. I got to get moving here, because I just wanted to be with her. I wanted to talk with her. I wanted to have time alone with her and speak to her and listen to her, and the Lord cured that because she graduated a year ahead of me and went to Grand Rapids, Michigan to teach at Christian school while I was still in Greenville, South Carolina. But, you know, the times of communication, talking on the phone, or one time she came to visit me, and I was just couldn't wait for that time, my heart, my life. You see, communication was the most important thing about building a relationship. And it was so important to communicate. Relationship isn't a one-way street that we have. It's always a two-way street. A relationship is this: talk, listen, talk. Back and forth. That's where a real relationship starts. So God speaks to my spirit through his spirit, through his word. Back on Mother's Day, I was speaking on Mary and Martha, and I was talking about Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and Martha complaining because she was doing all the work and Mary's in there sitting at the feet of Jesus. And you know, just as I even pictured that in my mind of Mary sitting there, I really think there were times that Mary would ask the Lord Jesus Christ something. And then she would just sit back and listen to him. Can you imagine being preached to by God himself? What a moment, what a time she had, and she was growing. Well, God speaks to your spirit, and he speaks to my spirit at this point in time through his word. So to have communication with God, I must deal with my sin. The psalmist said this in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Why am I getting answers to prayer? Could it be that there's sin in my heart? There's something between my soul and the Savior that I have not taken care of. So I have to deal with my spirit daily and deal with my sin daily. And I have to ask God if there's any sin that stands between me and him that day. Lord, is there something today that's between us? You know what? When you ask him and you say this to him at that time, Lord, show it to me, he will. He'll reveal it to you. And sometimes I've sat there and said, Lord, I didn't even notice I was doing that. You know, but he brought it out. And the first thing I must do then is confess my sin to the Lord, 1 John 1:9. I need to confess my sin to the Lord and turn from the sin that I have there. Now I'm free to communicate with God. You see, sometimes we try to come into communication and we don't have things right. And as I refer to the song, nothing between my soul and the Savior. It's clear. What do we do at communion time? Prior to taking of the Lord's table, we bow our heads and we make sure there's nothing between us and God. It's a time before we come to his table we do that. You know, we need to do that daily. We need to come before him and say, is there something there? I want to be free to communicate with God. And one of the things you'll find out, and I found out in my personal life, how gracious and loving he is as he deals with my sin. Sometimes I get very embarrassed by my sin when he points it out to me. And I said, oh, I can't believe I did that. And he's so gracious, and he's so loving, and he's so kind as he deals with my sin in my heart. And the joy of sins forgiven and the openness of which God will now open his word to me is just incredible. Why? I've cleared the way, now I can come before him. So we've come to the Lord, and we've asked to get rid of the sin. The next thing is, each day ask God to give you his message for the day. Lord, show me what you have today for me from your word, and please make it real to my life. I'm coming to him and saying, Lord, make this real in my heart, my life, that I might not sin against you, that I might walk with you, that I might live with you. Make the word of God real to me today. And he will. He promises he will, and he will make it real in your heart and your life. You know, God doesn't bless Bible readers. Boy, somebody's going to jump up and say, wait a minute. He blesses Bible meditators. Nothing wrong with reading the scripture, but I need to meditate it. Back in your Bible, and you'll know much of this anyhow, but the book of Psalms in chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he what? Meditate day and night. Meditation is important. Just reading the Bible, I'm getting information. But look, I want transformation. I want God to reveal to me those things in my life that will help me be made more like him and make it real to my life. And he'll bless me as I meditate upon the word. And then as you're reading upon the word of God and looking through those things in the word, as you read even maybe it's through the Bible, however you do your devotions, what you do, when the Holy Spirit shows you a truth, stop right there. Don't continue on. I'll come back to that later. No, stop right there. Because the Holy Spirit has now revealed something specific in your heart and your life at that point in time. And he wants to show you a truth. Read the verse over several times. Look at it. Examine it in the context of what he's written. And what does God want to show me? You know, the reason we stop is because we have asked the Holy Spirit to give me his message for the day. And God speaks to my heart, the meditator. As I'm meditating, God speaks to my heart about this passage. You know, meditating is thinking about the passage. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, the verse there is not about memorizing the Bible for knowledge purposes. It's about putting him in your heart and meditating upon the word of God. I'm stopped to listen to God because God wants to show me something. And I'm going to miss that blessing for the day if I just keep on going. I want to see what it is. So it's a time to stop, not talk, but to listen and learn from the master teacher what he has for me. Then it comes to our prayer time is another thing. As we come to prayer, we ask God to speak to our spirit today about what he wants us to pray about. Lord, what do you want me to pray about today? You're coming to prayer time. Feel free to ask God what he wants you to pray about for the day. Remember when we looked back there in 1 John 2:15 and verse 17, where the devil was seeking to control my life through outside pressure for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life when he was doing that. You see, after I ask God what he wants me to do today and have today and what he wants me to be today, I've gotten rid of those three things that he keeps trying to cave in on me. I just blew those out the window. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are gone. And devil, you want to pound on me all you want to, but listen, this is what God has for me. And I'm going to listen to what God has and turn those things over to God. I think there are three more things I want to ask God about. Lord, who do you want me to witness today? We're to be witnesses. The Bible's thorough with that. But Lord, who do you want me to witness today? You'll be surprised when you ask the Lord things that he'll answer you when your heart's right, when you're clear, when the message is clear and there's nothing between your soul and the Savior and he gives you clear things. He'll give you clear thoughts of who he can witness to. Another thing is this. Who does he want me to encourage today? A note? A call? Today? A text? You know, something like that just to encourage somebody. As I was preparing this message, it was funny how I had to seek these things out for myself. Say, Lord, does this really work? And I want to tell you, my friend, it did. I was in my second home. It's called Taco Bell. I could eat there 7 days a week. I don't, but I could. But I was in Taco Bell, and I was going over and mulling in my mind some of the message and thinking of it at that point in time. And this thing about encouraging somebody, I think I need to encourage somebody today. And a couple came in with two teenagers, and they sat down. They were having a great time. They were interacting with their kids, and it was so beautiful. And I thought, you know what? When it's time to eat their food, they're going to pray. I just said in my head, they're going to pray. You know what happened? Took hands together and bowed their heads and prayed. And I went over afterwards. I said, what a joy. You just encouraged me so much today. By seeing you, the interaction with your children. And then I said, I was sure you were going to pray at that point in time because I watched your life prior to that time. I knew you had to be believers in Jesus Christ. Simple thing to say, said thank you and went on my way. But God is good in that as we try to encourage somebody. And then a third thing, what can I praise him for today? Ask him, Lord, what can I praise you for today? There's so many things that we can praise. Oh, if you know, we get Thanksgiving time. Well, I could just praise the Lord all day long. And then it comes to each day. Huh. What can I praise you for today, Lord? What is special that I can praise you for? You see, the whole thing that's happening now, I'm focusing on others and I'm not focusing on me. Why? I'm developing a real relationship with God. And a real relationship with God was to think of others, not of myself. It's not of me at that time. I was a baseball pitcher back in junior and senior high. Some people look at an old man with white hair and say, he was a baseball pitcher? How did he ever get the ball across the plate? Well, today I probably couldn't. But back when I was younger, I was a baseball pitcher. And I can remember one thing that I would do. When I would stand up there in the mound, I would look at the catcher, and I would not look at anyone else. I didn't look at the batter. I didn't look to see what he was doing. My teammates were out there yelling, hey, batter, 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 and yelling all this kind of stuff. They don't do most of this anymore, but they did then. And they were trying to distract him. I wasn't. I was looking at that catcher, and I would look for the sign. And then when he'd give me the sign for the pitch I was going to pitch, he would put his glove up in a special place where he wanted the ball to end up. And I just concentrated. I didn't look at anything. If anybody was cheering the stands, I didn't hear them. I was so intent on concentrating and getting that ball from my hand into that catcher's mitt in the right place. I was concentrating to that point in my life. I'd like to liken that to my relationship to God. You know why? It's personal. It's just me and him. My relationship to God is a personal relationship. It's between me and God, and I thank him for that personal relationship. But it's passionate. There's just a real desire there. My desire was to get that ball into that glove. My desire as a believer is to walk with my Lord and have a real, intimate, passionate relationship with him. And it's very intimate. It's a love relationship. very close to my Lord and Savior. You know, nothing motivates you more than to know that God will speak to you today and will hear you speak to him. Remember, talk, listen, listen, talk. That's what he wants. Without the intimate, personal, passionate relationship between us and God, we'll be doomed to disaster after disaster and failure in many parts of our lives. You know, the sadness of the hour in which we live today is many Christians don't have a real relationship with God. It's not that. They have a relationship. They don't have a real relationship with God. I don't want you to think that I was talking down about memorizing Scripture. Memorizing Scripture is fantastic. It's a good thing. I'm glad for it. But if I memorize it, I need to meditate on it. If it's going to be that, I want to meditate on it. I want to be part of my life. How does God speak to me through the verses of the Scripture? I read the Scripture, I read the Word of God, and I read it to meditate. But I have to stop and listen to the Spirit of God when he wants to show me what he wants for me from God's Word. I have to give it to him. Now, if you take that little sheet out I told you to put away, I didn't check to see if you were looking at it during the time. But this is just a little thing. You can put it in your flyleaf of your Bible. I encourage you to do so for the time that you spend alone with the Lord. Or you can drop it in the trash can when you go out. It's up to you. But I want to tell you, here's the 13 things I was talking about in the message today of how to have a real relationship with God. Pray and ask him, God, if there's any sin that stands between him and you today. God, the Holy Spirit, will speak to your spirit and show you your sin. I need to confess that sin and turn from it. And then ask God to speak to me and give me his message to me for today. As I read God's word, he'll minister to my heart. Many times the Holy Spirit will stop you in your reading to show you a truth and speak to your heart about that truth. Many times you may weep over that truth and thank God for showing it to you. Then that truth will come alive to you. Number 8, ask God what he wants for you and what he wants you to pray about. Ask the Lord who he wants you to witness to today. Ask the Lord who he wants you to encourage today. Ask what I can praise him for today. And the relationship between God and you will become intimate, personal, passionate. You'll grow leaps and bounds as you devour his word in your life. And I think this would be a help to you and give you the guidance and the direction that the Lord gives you. Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Our heads are bowed and eyes closed, and we consider this very thing in our hearts and our life. We ask this question simply. Do you have a real relationship with God? Is it an intimate relationship? Is it personal? Is it passionate? Is that the relationship of my heart that I have in my heart, my life today? Thank God that you have a relationship with him, and I praise God for that today. But you're missing the whole picture. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Keep on growing. Don't quit. Don't give in. Continue to grow. Loving Father, we thank you for your word because it's truth. We thank thee for what the Spirit of God can teach us as we open our hearts and our minds, as we cleanse ourselves from sin that's in our lives, that we might be able to communicate clearly with God and be in that right relationship. Lord, we need a real relationship in our hearts today. The devil is using all sorts of things to placate us, to satisfy us, but the real satisfaction isn't until we come to this place of a real relationship with God. So work in our hearts and our lives today. Touch our hearts to think of you, put you first in our life, and make our lives completely yours that we might have a real relationship with you. May it begin today if it has not in our hearts and our lives. May it begin in our hearts and our lives today as we yield ourselves unto you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.